Before we start this podcast, I'd like to give a special thanks out to my friend Taylor Biemendurfer, who composed the wonderful music that is the intro and outro music for this podcast. To the podcast, The Library, where you think we'll be discussing books or reading about books, we really won't be, except in this case, where
we are
picking right from where we left off on Taylor's segment.
If you're very confused about what he's talking about, then you probably haven't seen part one, in which case go to taylizabeth.blogspot.com and scroll down a little bit, you'll probably find it.
All right, let's get started.
Yeah, so we read, or at least I read, you listened to, the book Maradona and the Seven Bridges is a book by author Gloria Tesh, who was only 14 when she wrote it. Unfortunately, she didn't, as most sensible people would do, hide it away. She published it, or at least her family did, out into the world. And although it is simultaneously a curse and a blessing, it's really just art. We haven't even gotten to the best part. We were only able to read one chapter, but you know,
it was interesting for what we read.
It's definitely interesting for what we read. I still have, like, the Nook copy of the book right here, so I think we can just dive right in and analyze it. So let's go.
All right, so let's start out with this.
Which part do you want to start out with?
Which part of this chapter had the most structural errors that bothered you the most?
Oh, man. If I had to think, it's probably the entire scene in the classroom, actually, ironically. There's a lot of, you can look at it here, there's a lot of just giant spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not even talking about, like, space between paragraphs, just there are, like, several spaces in between words. Like, as Maya walked to the back of the class, the students watched her in silence. You know, that kind of thing, you know? And also, there's the teacher's flagrant irresponsibility. Let's not even... This is going to be sad to say. I feel like maybe that's the closest to realistic this book could get. I mean, it's a fantasy book, so I guess it's not really what we're going for, but, you know. There's also just a lot of random italicizing, random things in italics. Like Lewis and Clark expedition discovering a new world with no commas or colons. And Alana Terrence, which is italicized for some reason. I think I'd probably find it all, but, you know, that would take a lot of time. It also irritated me a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, keep going.
Not even in structure, but, like, that... I mentioned this in the last one a little bit, but now that we're at the analysis portion, I think we can actually discuss it more. She does a lot of telling, not showing. And it's just really irritating.
Well, I mean, you also have to take into account that she was 14 when she wrote this.
Listen, the fact she was 14 when she wrote this is evident in every single paragraph. Okay? Oh. I'm sorry, no. Listen, okay, I wrote a book when I was 14, all right? I wrote a lot of things when I was 14. I loved writing when I was 14. It was like a passion. And, you know, I won almost an award. I almost got published at 14. I wasn't a book, it was a poem in an anthology. But, like, when I look back at my stuff, I'm like, who TF did this?
Who
put these words to a page instead of just keeping them in their head, you know? Like, even when I wrote a book for National Novel Writing Month when I was, like, 18 and it was bad. Like, you know, writing is an evolutionary process that we really have to, like, go through, I think.
Do you think she's still writing today?
I don't know. There isn't a lot of updates on how she's doing. Allegedly, there was a movie after the movie... they sunk their whole family fortune into this and ended up penniless. But I don't know the veracity of that claim because those are just internet rumors. But if that's true, it's really sad.
Oh.
But she might still be. I hope that after this she would continue because, I mean, I did, in fact, I at least have knowledge of what happens throughout this book. And, you know, it's no better than a 14-year-old's novel, but it's also no worse, you know? I feel like she could have done with a lot of improvement, and I hoped she at least tried, and if she didn't, then that's pretty sad, you know?
Didn't you also say that she wrote, like, 8 books for this entire series?
She did. She did write 8. Though, to be fair, she wrote, actually, like, 3 or 4, and then they were so long, like, the first one was 800 pages, that she split them into 8. So she wrote 8 novels, but really she just wrote 4 very long ones.
Maybe she had the inspiration from Harry Potter.
I really think she did, actually. The pre-prologue, like, there's, like, 3 different bodies of text that come before chapter 1. One of them is a prologue, one of them is, like, a preface, and then one of them is, like, the very first thing you encounter when you open this book is friggin'... I'm scrolling through the prologue right now, and it's just incredibly long. It's longer than chapter 1. It may even be longer than both chapter 1 and chapter 2.
That's great.
Is there's an entire preface where they talk about how amazing this book is, and they name drop J.K. Rowling. They're like, children who are fans of J.K. Rowling will absolutely love this book. And there's the prologue. Here we go. About. The Maradona saga is storytelling at its best. The saga is a stunning tour de force with a full complement of fast acting, gritty realism, powerful characters, brimming treachery, bravery, faith, knowledge, mystery, and magic. And yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. It summarizes the book right in the preface, which is annoying. The whole, like I mentioned again in the first one, but now would like to mention again, the whole basis of the prophecy that is the central conceit of this book is based on 9/11.
Yeah. And mind you, you read the prophecy to me, and it didn't make sense, but that kind of fits the whole atmosphere of what a prophecy is. That it, when a seer tells a prophecy, it's always so, you know, poetic and metaphorical and not really straightforward.
No. That was actually cut from the first one, but here it is here. Thoughts will arise in their mind, and they will make an evil plan. They will say, we will go up against the land of Maradona, a land of villages without walls and peaceful people who dwell safely and have acquired plenty of livestock and goods in abundance. And basically, she just plagiarized the Bible with, like, all of this. It's pretty long.
I mean, so is the Bible.
So is the Bible. Can confirm. Read Bible.
That's all the time we have for today on this episode of The Library. You can catch this podcast on servoblogs.blogspot.com, and you can catch the previous episode on
taelizabeth.blogspot.com.
And with that, we will see you later.
Bye! Bye.